The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Dale Wegner of SacSun in Sac City and Connor Everright of KMCD in Fairfield. Dale, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
Okay, Senator, this is Dale. You hosted Senator Boozman this week in Iowa and talking about the new ag bill that's coming up. Are the conversations he's having with the Iowans while he was here having an impact on him and helping to form the new bill?
I think that he would be for most of what he heard in Iowa. I suppose farming is a little bit different because they have they don't plant just corn and soybeans like we do in Iowa. They plant a bigger variety. But I think what he heard would be common to even the crops that are in his state. And I think it deals with things that are more than the details of the legislation so much as whether we're going to have money to spend for what we need. We don't even have a top line of the budget yet. So how does the top line for all of the expenditures for 24, how does that filter down to X number of dollars for agriculture? Now, we can't wait to write a farm bill till we have those numbers, but we're going to have to plug in some numbers, and if they don't fit into the overall budget, we'll have to dial them up or dial them down, whatever the case might be. I think that there is an area that he heard a lot about that he might not support us on, is E15. I wouldn't say he's against it, but he's if you don't come from the Midwest, you aren't a big ethanol supporter like the 14 states that produce most of the corn in this country. Let's go to Connor.
Thank you, Senator Grassley. Senator Grassley, Americans are feeling the pain at the pump, with oil companies and retailers all reporting record profits from higher fuel prices. What can the Senate do to help bring prices in line with pre-pandemic pricing?
I think there's several things we could do, but one of them that the president can do on his own, because he has the statutory authority given to him to do it, and he did just the opposite when he came to office. He more or less shut down fossil fuel production in the United States. If he would open that back up to where it was pre-pandemic, the United States was driving the price of oil worldwide, and OPEC was out of it. Now he shuts down our production of oil to such a great extent that OPEC's got more power now, so they take a million barrels off the market, shoots up the price. So that would be the biggest thing to do. Beyond that, Congress can legislate E15, but we shouldn't have to. The president's got the authority to do it. He did it last year. They said they're going to do it in 24. Well, why aren't they going to have year-round E15, which means being able to market June, July, August, up till September 15th, when you can't market it now, because a year ago, he announced right at this time when he was traveling in Iowa, he's going to help the high price of gasoline by marketing E15, and he did it. And I sent a letter to him this week reminding him of what he did a year ago, and the price of gasoline's almost as high as it was a year ago. Why not have E15 year-round? Back to the newspaper.
Okay. Senator, you've long been a supporter of Iowa's first-in-the-nation caucuses. This past couple of days, there have been some talks about how the Iowa Democrats would like to hold theirs by doing a mail-in caucus. What are your thoughts on what is happening there and how that could potentially affect the whole process?
Well, I'll start with what I heard Republican chairman in New Hampshire said about it. Because, you know, through 50, 60 years, we've had New Hampshire want to be first in the nation primary. Iowa want to be first in the nation caucus. We've been working together in a bi-state, bipartisan way. And he said, if it looks like the Democrats threw mail-in for their caucus are going to have like a primary, then they're going to move their primary ahead in New Hampshire, ahead of Iowa. That should not happen. So if there's an attempt to stop the Democrats from doing it, and I don't know what the legislation says, but I want Iowa to be first in the nation. I want Iowa to cooperate with New Hampshire, and I want the Democrats to have first in the nation caucus in Iowa and first in the nation primary in New Hampshire, as opposed to what the Democrats are trying to do by going to South Carolina first. To me, it's very, very important that we keep first in the nation. Back to Connor.
Thank you, Senator Grassley. Last year, Southeast Iowa saw the closing of one of its critical care hospitals in Keokuk. What is being done to ensure rural Iowans have access to critical health care?
The Grassley bill of 2020, that's called the Rural Emergency Hospital program. It's voluntary. They don't. No hospital has to do it. But if they're willing to give up the very expensive part of their operation, like a critical access hospital has to mean 25 hospital beds, or at least up to that. And since there's only about 4% occupancy, that's a very expensive part of it. If they want to give that up, maintain the rest of their program so they have critical care, and particularly emergency care in their hospital, then they can transfer from being a critical access hospital to being a rural emergency program. And that's what I sought when I found out that, or that's what I thought up when I found out that hospitals were getting in trouble. And I can't speak for the 88 critical access hospitals in Iowa, but they have this choice if they want to do it and maintain a lot of the care that comes from hospitals, except for people overnight in hospitals. I would urge them to look at that. By the way, I worked to get the critical access hospital program in place maybe about 25 years ago, and that was to save rural hospitals. So we've had 25 years of saving rural hospitals until the one in Keokuk closed out. Let's go back to the newspaper.
Okay. Senator, the NRA is holding their convention now, and lots of big names on the national level are speaking with them. What are your thoughts on anything that's happening at the federal level in terms of gun policy?
Well, I'd like to talk about my eagle bill. It comes from, the name of it comes from the mascot of the Parkland, Florida killing, where 13 people, young people, were murdered by another student. And it builds on a program that the Secret Service has had for about 25 years to educate people to identify ahead of time people that may be a harm to themselves or a harm to other people. So the idea is you identify these people ahead of time, preempt them from doing something wrong, get them some help. That's not in the schools of America. And that program should be available to schools to help identify people like at Parkland High School several people. I mean, I even heard as many as 30 to 40 times there was intervention. Nobody got him any help, mental help. If they had, his name would have been in the data bank and he wouldn't be able to buy that gun he killed people with. So I'm touting the Eagle Bill as one possible solution. It isn't going to stop everything, but there's no one big thing's going to get enough votes in the United States Senate. So you got to do this incrementally. You'll have the last question, Connor.
Thank you, Senator Grassley. Employers are finding it more difficult to find and hire skilled laborers. What can the federal government do to help close the employment gap with skilled tradesmen?
Yeah. The first answer I'm going to give you deals more with the quality of the workforce than the quantity of the workforce. But presently, if you want to go to college and get a Pell Grant, you got to either get a degree program at a associate degree program at a community college or a bachelor's program at a four-year university. If you want to be a plumber or a carpenter or any of the trades, you can't get a Pell Grant because that's not a two-year program. So let's say it's 9 months, and you can be a plumber after 9 months, you ought to be able to get a Pell Grant. So I'm an advocate for that. And then the other thing is more quantity than necessarily dealing with quality at all. But I learned in visiting a manufacturing plant in northwest Iowa, bring up the same question you just brought up. And he said, and I said, have you thought about hiring people that are on government programs? And he says, yeah, we have one. But he works 3 weeks out of a month. And then doesn't work the other week because he'd earned too much money and lose all of his benefits. So you can see we've got a federal programs that are a disincentive to work, and the federal government should not be disincentivizing people to work. We ought to incentivize people to work. So I would encourage people to go into the workforce that are on government programs, and if they make more money than what their programs are worth, let's say they lose 10% of it this year, and then they make more money next year, then they lose 20%. So you see, as their wages go up, their benefits that they get from the government would go gradually down. And as they made enough money, maybe they wouldn't be on any government program at all. But the point being, we should incentivize people to work, and there's a big supply of people out there that would benefit. I think people want to work, but they know the value of their government programs, and then if they're going to lose them all, that's what we call a cliff situation. When you make $1 more than they're worth, they're just going to be protective of the security they have, because they don't know what the future holds. We ought to help them with their future by not cutting everything off all at once. Thank you both very much. Goodbye.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Dale and Connor, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to you, the people of Iowa.